Am I on, Phil? I guess I am. Good evening. Good to see you all. Grace men, well done on the Lent meal. Let's give them a hand. And wives of the Grace Lutheran men, we salute you. Thanks. Anyway, good to see you all as we continue our Lenten journey tonight. We're excited to have Lee Brenna here to provide us with music. Amy is on vacation visiting relatives out east, and Rachel and Hans just left today on a big trip. So I called up Lee, and he said, yeah, he had this. He's been doing other gigs, but he had tonight open, so we're really thrilled. So let's begin with a word of prayer, shall we? Let us pray in quiet remembrance of our need for redemption. Father in heaven, the light of your truth bestows sight to the darkness of sinful eyes. May this season of repentance bring us the blessing of your forgiveness and the gift of your light. Lord, you forgive the repentant sinner. Grant us your forgiveness as we come before you confessing our guilt. Father of mercy, hear the prayers of your repentant children who call on you in love. Enlighten our minds and sanctify our hearts. Heal us of our waywardness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And we open tonight's service in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Take it away, Lee.
Thank you very much for having me. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Your holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you when temptations come my way. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You, in conversation with some people out there dining, they asked me what my favorite kind of music was. And I'm going to have to say I answered my favorite kind of music is when I get to grab a guitar and play, accompany some young gal and then just sing some harmonies. So, and this is a little different for me, but occasionally I run across songs that I really like. and they kind of speak to me. And this is one of them songs. I love you, Lord, for your mercies never fail me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. I love that line, your goodness is running after me. We've been looking at a number of psalms for our meditations on these Wednesday nights. We looked at Psalm 113 and talked about the God who stoops. We talked about the God who restores, and tonight we're going to talk about the God in the storm. And it's not that God comes to us as a storm, but when we experience the storms of life, he's going to come to us and help us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness that runs us down, because we're certainly not running to you. But you come to us. Your Son is the prime example of that. And we pray as we continue our Lenten journey, as we follow our our Savior to the cross once again and to the empty tomb, that you would bless us with an abiding sense of your presence. Amen. The God in the Storm, do we have that up? Should be 1A, Psalm 32, or Psalm 34. Well, whatever. Okay. I don't need PowerPoint slides to talk. But let me tell you a little story about a young professor and a young pastor by the name of Brad. I accepted the call to teach at the seminary, and they said they wanted me in a parish to get some experience. And so I accepted a call to a church in Alexandria, Minnesota, and then drove up to Fergus Falls twice a week and was a young professor. So everything was new to me, and I was a new parent. So I had a lot of new stuff going on, but I met a couple in my congregation in Alexandria, and I've changed their names, of course, to protect the innocent, but we'll call them Ron and Mary. Ron and Mary, beautiful people of faith who loved God, loved people, loved the church. They were all in. They were there every Sunday, helping, serving, worshiping, came to all my Bible studies. Ron had been delivered from addiction, from alcohol, and he had owned a car parts business in Rockford, Illinois. And as he was delivered from his addiction, he decided that he wanted to get his kids out of Rockford. And they had vacationed up in the Alexandria area, so they bought a house. He sold his part of the business and made a pretty good chunk of change, and they bought a house up in Alexandria, and they moved up there, and life was good. But about a year after my call to the church, they discovered they'd been cheated out of a lot of the money by a business partner. They had a son who fell into addiction, and another one who had just run away. Things were tough. He stopped by the church one day and said, I feel like I'm ready to lose it. And I said, Ron, go to work. You got to go to work. He was working as a mechanic. And I said, look up at the clock, because I'm going to be praying for you at the top of every hour. And he was that far from a nervous breakdown. But I remember they had us over for supper and told us the whole story of everything that had gone wrong. And the question was, where's God in all of this? Tonight, we're going to see David, the author of this psalm, in his own personal storm. A storm that he didn't ask for, but a storm that came upon him. And we're going to see that David writes this psalm in the wake of this personal storm, and he's going to tell us to taste and see that the Lord is good. We often hear that line from Psalm 34 as a mountaintop experience, but it's anything from it. It's a statement that comes from a dark valley. And so God invites us to taste of his goodness, even in the dark valleys of our personal struggles. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8, a psalm with a very interesting superscription. That's that title that sits up at the top. A psalm of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away. Abimelech was a Philistine king. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. A little background to this psalm. If we take a look at the superscription and we go to the historical book of 1 Samuel, we will see some very interesting background to this psalm. A psalm of David when he feigned madness before Abimelech, who drove him away. What is that all about? Well, let's back up, first of all, to who David was. We know David, the shepherd boy who defeated Goliath. But David fought hard after that. He became the most famous warrior in all of Israel. He fought hard for his country. But Saul, the king, became jealous because the crowds were saying, King Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. So Saul was overshadowed by this young warrior who had made such a reputation fighting on behalf of the Lord and his people. And so Saul, in a fit of jealousy, branded David a traitor and sentenced him to death. Saul's son, Jonathan, who was a close personal friend of David, warned David of this plot, and David fled Jerusalem with just his street clothes on. Didn't have any gear, didn't have a backpack, didn't have food. He just had to run for his life. He was desperate, running for survival with no provisions and being hunted by the army that he used to lead in battle. Talk about having your world turned upside down. So he came to a little village, a priestly village by the name of Nob. And there he is with just his street clothes on, panting, huffing and puffing. And the head priest says, what's going on here? Something looks a little funny. And David told him a little white lie. He said, you know, I'm on an official government mission. I didn't have time to take any provisions. Do you have anything here that I could use? And lo and behold, he had some bread, and then he gave him the sword of Goliath that was kept there, kind of on display. So David had a weapon now, he had some provisions, and off he went. And of all places, you know, this was probably the worst mistake, one of the worst mistakes he's made in his life, but he went to the Philistine city of Gath looking for protection. Gath is the hometown of Goliath. So imagine that scene, walking into Gath, wearing Goliath's sword. Can you give me some help? And the king, of course, seized him immediately, was going to put him to death, but David pretended to be insane. He uttered nonsense. He drooled all over himself. He scribbled nonsense on the city gates until Abimelech said, you know, it's actually more satisfying to see David in this state than to kill him. And David made his escape, made it to the wilderness of Judea. But someone found him there. It was someone from the village of Nob, the lone survivor, because when Saul found out that the village had unknowingly helped him, he massacred the entire village in a fit of rage. And this lone survivor came, found David, and told him. And David said to him, I have brought about the death of everyone in your village. He owned it, but he was crushed. He didn't ask for this storm. He told just the smallest of lies for his own survival. But there he was, crushed under the weight of this guilt. But he wrote this psalm in the wake of this disaster, inviting us to taste and see that the Lord is good. So we see in this psalm God's provision for our human failure. As David sat alone, crushed by the weight of his sin and Saul's sin, God came to him in mercy. We hear this in verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. This was where David was at. This is not a mountaintop experience. This is a deep, dark valley. And then he writes a little later, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. What a beautiful reminder for us this Lenten season as we walk and follow Jesus to the cross, that it was our sin that put him there. But God comes to us in our brokenness, in our repentance, and puts the robes of Jesus' righteousness over our shoulders and says, I know you, I understand you, I forgive you. So God's provision for human weakness, let's move into the New Testament. We remember Jesus' words, it's not the healthy who need the physician, but the sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. As our last First Communion class tonight, we read the narrative of Zacchaeus from Luke 19, and what a story that is. A tax collector, the most hated kind of person in Judean society, was the Hebrew who collected taxes for the Romans and charged too much and lived in a nice house because of it. But Jesus saw him and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to be at your house today. Zacchaeus was forgiven, restored. In Christ, God has come close to me, to you, and understands our fears, our brokenness, and failures, inviting us in our lowest of lows to taste his goodness. That's what we're doing this Lenten season. Christ has met me in my brokenness, and he's healed me by his wounds. You see, God knows our troubles and provides his living bread and the living water of Christ's sacrifice for our sins and his presence with us. That's what God is. That's what he does. He's the God in the storm. Sometimes we can make idols out of our storms, out of our fears, but God is there in the midst of them. We don't have to climb a high mountaintop and have a beautiful religious experience to meet him. He comes to us just as we are in darkness. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, nothing but the gospel can free us for being thoroughly known without fear. Jesus, your love is unlike anything we can experience in this life. We adore and praise you this day as the Christ, our Lenten Lord, the heart knower, our holy lover, our righteousness from God, our only hope of glory. You know every vain, foolish, and evil thought we've ever conceived, every lustful, greedy fantasy in which we only you hear every grace-robbing, grandstanding, gossipy word we speak. Only you know the broken cisterns of our choices, our idols, and the many things to which we turn to find life somewhere else than you. Yet, you pursue us. You welcome us. You forgive us and love us. And you are changing us. Amen. And amen.
I picked a congregational song for the reason that I was watching I Googled up what is some of the favorite music in churches, and the question was presented to pastors, and they were picking what they felt was their favorite music within their church, and it was pretty unanimous that congregational hymns with the voice of everyone shines greater than any other one. So, Phil, you've got it, but my version in this is a little bit different than what your Lutheran Book of Worship is. I have a refrain at the end of, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Everyone know that? Okay, so at the end of every verse, it won't be printed, but go ahead and let her fly, and I'm going to listen to it. When peace like a river
as well with my soul.
Where Satan should buffet the dry. Another thing I shared while we were dining is I am, according to my commercial driver's license, I am deaf, and that's pretty accurate. And this song is called "I'm Thankful for the Scars," and I heard this song on Christian radio and that for many years, and I thought the song was "I'm Thankful for the Stars." So I kind of never even paid any attention to it because it didn't make any sense until I read the lyrics one day and says, oh. Waking up to a new sunrise, looking back from the other side, I can see now with open eyes, darkest water and deepest pain. I wouldn't trade it for anything, 'cause my brokenness brought me to you, and these wounds are a story you'll use. So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the scars. Now I'm standing in confidence with the strength of your faithfulness. And I'm not who I was before. No, I don't have to fear anymore. So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the scars. I can see how you delivered me. In your hand, in your feet, I found my victory. I can see how you delivered me. In your hand, in your feet, I found my victory. Well, I'm thankful for your scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And with all my life I'll tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for, I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the scars. You can kind of see how that one word completely changed the meaning of that song. This is a song that has everyone heard them songs that I have done here before? Or some of them are new to you? Or heard them? Who's heard every song that I've done so far? Well, there's some hands that are up. Now, I hope to almost trick everyone on this, because this is a song, this came up at our table too. I love to do songs that nobody knows, because then they have no idea if you're doing them right or wrong. And this is a song that kind of touches me a little bit, because I love songs that are sung as if they're coming from God. And this is a song that visualizes, you know, I maybe don't fit the image, so shut your eyes. So you're running out of prayers to pray. You think nobody cares anyway. You're thinking all your sins go unforgiven. A broken heart and broken dreams. Sometimes you can't feel anything. You wonder how anyone could love you. I love you more than you'll ever know. When you can't hold on, I'll never let you go. So let me love you until you love you again. Everything you might hate yourself for, I love you more. I love this world
So I sent my son to show you love like you've never known. And even through it all, they crucified him. And as he hung there on that cross, he made sure not one soul was lost. And in his dying words, he whispered to them, I love you more than you'll ever know. When you can't hold on, I'll never let you go. So let me love you until you love you again. For everything you might hate yourself for, I love you more. Past the moon, past the stars, past the wounds, past the scars, I forgave all your sins. Over and over and over and over again, I love you more than you'll ever know. When you can't hold on, I'll never let you go. So let me love you until you love you again. For everything you might hate yourself for, I love you more. For everything you might hate yourself for, I love you more. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lee. What a wonderful night of music we've had. Thank you so much. I did the nursing home services yesterday in Pelican Rapids, Riverfront on Main, the memory care unit, and then the nursing home. And I led off each service with a call to worship from Psalm 23. And I said, because I know these old saints, and I pretty much have memorized that in the King James Version, and they said it right along with me. It was beautiful, both groups. And then we prayed the Lord's Prayer, and they were right there with me. What a great heritage. It's obvious when you see these older saints who were raised in the church. They may be failing health-wise, maybe their memory is not so good anymore, but these things are there. So let's conclude tonight by praying the prayer which our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Can I leave you with a blessing? Would you please stand? May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's peace to you all.